Thank you, Dave. Good morning. What a blessing to gather and to go into our time in the Word by singing that prayer to the Lord. In your church, Lord, be glorified. And we truly trust that in this local church, that the Lord Jesus will be glorified today and every day, and then in our lives, as we also sing, that He will be glorified. We know that one way that the Lord Jesus is glorified is when we reflect Him in our lives, reflect our love to Him through our obedience to Him. He is truly glorified in that. Many of you are familiar with the little song, Home on the Range. How many of you have ever heard the song, Home on the Range? If you think maybe you did, you ought to raise your hand because I might start singing it, you know, just to make sure that you know. Home on the Range, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, right? I don't think many of us live on the range, all right? You know, I think most of us live in the reality of a world in which there's plenty of discouragement, plenty of discouraging words, too. You know, sometimes we might also find ourselves in circumstances where we might change the words a little bit and say, well, you know, where I roam, there's seldom heard an encouraging word. And I was thinking as I reflected on the scriptures we're going to look at this morning, whenever there are at least two true believers in the Lord Jesus in a place, whether it's a home, a workplace, the marketplace, meeting of the local church, walking down the street. It should never be able to be said or sung that they're seldom heard an encouraging word. Because we're going to talk this morning from the Scripture about encouraging one another. So to do that, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at a passage that begins in chapter 4 in verse 13 and that goes down through chapter 5. In verse 11, and we're going to be focusing mainly on the two verses that I have listed on the screen here for you today, but we're going to be looking some at the other verses as well. As we think about this concept of encouraging one another, encouraging one another, we'll start our reading in verse 13. This is a passage that is often read at the graveside of a believer in the Lord Jesus, but not only meant to be read in that context. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who drunk, get drunk or drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and I wish that we could spend our time this morning just looking at the doctrinal truths here, and we have done that at past times, and I'm sure we'll do it again. But this morning, we want to focus, as I said, primarily on the last verse of chapter 4, where we read, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And then verse 11, the last verse that we read there in chapter 5, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing." And what we'd like to do this morning is to find encouragement in encouraging one another by examining four aspects of this vital one anothering truth, that we're to be encouraging one another. So we're going to start out with this thought that we have here a complex verb, a complex verb. I want you to notice again in verse 18. The verb in verse 18, we have it in the New King James, from which I'm reading, and also in the King James, the word comfort. Down in verse 11, we have another verb. We see it, the same word, in the Greek and in the English in most of our Bibles. Comfort one another, or each other. And one thing I did want to mention there, in verse 18, we have comfort one another. And then in verse 11 of chapter 5, comfort each other. Actually, exact same phrase in the Greek. Those two, comfort one another, comfort each other, exact same phrase. Down in verse 11 of chapter 5, we also have that challenge to edify one another. And it's actually edify one, literally there in the Greek. So comfort each other, or comfort one another and edify one with the thought of one another there in verse 11. But let's look, first of all, at this complex verb. And the word is parakaleo in the Greek. Parakaleo, you say, well, that's complex enough. It sure is for me because I don't speak Greek. But we want to note a couple of things about it. First of all, this verb is complex in that it is a compound word. It's two Greek words brought together, just as we do in English, boardwalk, or someone said, isn't it interesting that you drive on a parkway and park in a driveway? So you got those compound words. They don't always make a lot of sense, at least in English. But here in Greek, we're going to see the two parts of this Greek word. The prefix is para, and that word means to be near or beside. You might think of, in English, a paralegal. And that's someone who's not an attorney, but they're very near an attorney, and they're involved in that type of work on behalf, often, of an attorney. That's just one of the illustrations of that word. The other word in Greek is kaleo, and it means to call, to call. And so when you put those two words together, you have the thought of calling someone near, or calling someone to your side. So that's the picture there that we have in the Greek word, this idea of calling someone near. And as we look at the different uses of the word in the New Testament, we see that the thought there seems to primarily be to purposefully call someone near to us in order to speak to them. To speak to them. So that's the thought here. So we find this verb, parakaleo, complex in the fact that it's a compound word, but we can simplify it by looking at the parts and bringing it together and also considering how it's most often used in the New Testament. And then it's also complex in the fact that it has a variety of meanings, and this is seen by the fact that there's a variety of translations of this word in the New Testament. Even if you're using, which obviously you're probably using one primary version, even in your version, more than likely, this word, parakaleo, is going to be translated a number of different ways because it has some different emphases in different situations. Here's some of the meanings of that word. It can be used to speak of exhorting someone, of comforting them, as we have it here in the translation I read. Even instruction, a pleading or urging, or seeking to bring consolation. All of these are accurate translations in different contexts. Just as in English, certain words, we understand them based on the context in which they're spoken. The same is true in Greek. And so we're summarizing this word, as we have in some translations, and even in my Bible, the New King James, in the margin, it's got the word encourage. And you may find that in your translation as well, or very likely you may have the word encourage. So the thought there really is, therefore, encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another. You may be encouraging someone to do something. There's the idea of exhorting. You're urging them to do something. You may be encouraging them to accept something. It may be that you want to encourage them to feel something, to accept the comfort, or to sense the comfort. You may be encouraging someone to believe something, or to learn something, or to be something, or to recognize something, or to act on something, or to be moved to something. See, so all of these are ideas of encouragement. You're encouraging the person to do, to be, to feel, to think, to believe, etc. So we're going to just kind of put all that under this idea of encouraging, even as we have it here in this context. So we find this complex verb is not only complex, but it's also a verb. It's an action word. It's something for us to do. We're being challenged here by Paul because he was, of course, writing to believers in Thessalonica in the first century. But we know that all Scripture is relevant for us today in some way. It's profitable for us. It may not mean that we're to do exactly what that person that we read about. In fact, we read that go and hang yourself. You know, if you read that in the Scripture, don't go do it. Okay? It's not a command to you. All right? But we find that this is something in the New Testament, written to the New Testament church, that is for our benefit and that we can use and apply in our own local assembly. It's also an imperative verb. It's a command. It's something that God, through Paul, was commanding the believers in the first century to do, to encourage one another. And I would say, by proper interpretation and application, it's a command for us as well. It's not some type of random rule. I don't want you to say, okay, here's another rule I need to follow as a Christian. It's not a random rule that God has given, saying Christians should encourage each other, but rather it's meant as a beneficial action for the family of God, for which God gives power to do by His Holy Spirit. He's not telling you to do something that He's not enabling you to do. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is living within you. You can't see Him. You can't feel Him. You can't touch Him. You can't audibly hear Him. But the Scripture tells us that if we don't have the Spirit of God living within us, we don't have the Spirit of Christ indwelling us, and we don't belong to the Lord Jesus. And so the way that the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us is not anything that we do. Rather, it's the work of God as we receive His Son, the Lord Jesus, as our Savior. Recognizing that we have sinned, and the Lord Jesus has died for our sin, and He was sinless and qualified to do that. And in receiving the Lord Jesus and being forgiven of our sin, we are also indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And so God the Holy Spirit is living within us, and He is desiring that we would, among other things, encourage one another. He wants us to do that. And He enables us to do that. Not something we do in our own strength, but rather something that we do as everything we do as a believer for the glory of God is through the Holy Spirit of God, by the power of God. And so though the Greek word is complex in different ways, the concept of encouraging is simply a command from God to His people. So if you have believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you have received Him and you have been born into the family of God, just by receiving the Lord Jesus Himself, you've received eternal life and forgiveness, and you've also received birth into the family of God. And if that's true, this command comes to you just as this command comes to me. So first of all, we have a complex verb. Secondly, we have a timeless need. A timeless need. You know, there was a need in Thessalonica in the very first century, 2,000 years ago. There was a need for encouragement. Now, the particular need in Thessalonica, we find two needs in a sense, because in chapter 4, that section we read at the end of the chapter that we began with this morning, they had a need for encouragement because they were dealing with sorrow, and not just sorrow, but the anxiety that came with that sorrow, because they were concerned about their loved ones who had died. They were concerned particularly about loved ones who had died that knew the Lord Jesus, had received the Lord Jesus as Savior, but they were wondering, well, now they've died, so what about when the Lord Jesus comes and he sets up His kingdom and he rules and He reigns, and they won't get to be a part of that. They'll miss out on that. And so Paul writes them some instruction that they will understand this mystery of the rapture. Now, this is a mystery we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because Paul says it there. He says, in the Old Testament, we could learn about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming back to rule on the earth, but we can read the Old Testament and we would be clueless about the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to come to the air to catch up those who know Him as Savior before that time when He will come and rule and reign on the earth. And so Paul said, that was a mystery. It was hidden in the past, but I'm revealing it to you. God used him to reveal that. And so these people were dealing with an uneasiness due to the potential impact of what is the rapture, or what is the fact that our loved ones have died and they're not here now when the Lord Jesus comes back. What does that mean for them? And so he explains that with a beautiful passage that, as I said, has been read by so many gravesides of believers. And I'll just very quickly make a couple of comments. He's writing here about those who have fallen asleep. Now, that's not you who are asleep right now, because you're not hearing me anyway. That's not talking specifically about you. It's about those who've died in Christ, and it's talking about their bodies. God says the body's just asleep. The soul and the spirit is with the Lord, and that's a joyful thing, the most joyful thing, to be with the Lord. But you know, God cares about these bodies. It's really amazing. His Son took on a body, and His Son is in a glorified body, and His Son will always be in a human body. And God cares about these bodies. And one day, these bodies are going to be raised. And those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the body's going to be raised at the rapture. And it's going to be changed and made like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus. So he's writing to those who sorrow. But he said, I don't want you to sorrow as those who don't have any hope. You're going to grieve. You're going to hurt. You're probably going to cry when you lose a loved one. But you don't have to be hopeless if that loved one knew the Lord Jesus as Savior. Because there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Himself is going to come back to the air, to the clouds, and with the a shout and the trumpet and a voice of an archangel, there's going to be a great reunion in heaven, in the clouds first, and then going on up to heaven. And he says, you know, I want you to know that verse 17, we're going to be caught up together with them. This isn't the end. We're going to be reunited. And not only reunited with them, but we're going to be with the Lord, which Paul says in the book of Philippians is far, far, far better than anything this world offers, even at a family reunion. And so he says, therefore, comfort one another, encourage one another with these words. And then in chapter 5, he goes on to another topic. but concerning the times and the seasons. He's still talking about prophecy. He's still talking about the future. But now he's talking about another event. It's described there as the day of the Lord in verse 2. And so we have here the rapture of the church, which could happen any moment while we're sitting here. It may occur. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we may go up to be with the Lord. Now again, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. It's going to be so instantaneous, though, I don't think we're really going to notice. And we're going to be with them. But you know, at that point, the rapture of the church is going to usher in an event called the Day of the Lord, which is more than 24 hours. It's an extended period of time that will last at least 1,007 years, because it's going to include a 7-year tribulation, a time of tribulation upon this earth. And then the Lord Jesus is going to come back, and he is going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And eventually we'll be in that eternal state. But he wanted to explain some of that to them. You see, there was an uneasiness also for them, because they didn't know. They were curious. They were wondering, when is this going to be? But you see, we don't know when this is going to be. It's uncertain for us. It's not uncertain for God. But there's going to come a time when he's going to begin to judge this earth for its rejection of the Lord Jesus. And there's going to be 7 years of judgment before the Lord Jesus comes back to rule and to reign. And there's an ongoing nature of this need. I was noticing there in verse 11 of chapter 5, where he challenges them, commands them to comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. He said, you're already doing this, but you can't stop, because people need encouragement. And they're always going to need encouragement. You know, I also wanted to bring out very quickly, and you can turn there if you want and hold your place here, but I just wanted to make a couple of comments. In the book of Hebrews, we have this same thought, the same concept of encouraging one another. And in chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, I just want to bring out a thought or two here in verses 12 and 13 of Hebrews 3. Because these Hebrew believers who were receiving this letter from an unnamed author, but an author moved by the Holy Spirit of God, they had the same need for encouragement, a different circumstances, but they also had a need. Notice in verse 12 of Hebrews 3, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort," that's our word, parakaleo, "but exhort," or "encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know, there was a danger. There was a potential there for unbelief. There was a danger there for a hardening, even of those who were following the Lord Jesus. And so, he said, you need encouragement. You need to encourage one another daily. Not just weekly. Surely not just monthly. But every day, we need encouragement. Over in chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but chapter 10 of Hebrews, "And let us consider one another," we've already looked at that, "in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting," there's our word again, parakaleo, "exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There continued to be, and there continues to be, a timeless need for encouragement. And then there's a need among Christians throughout the church age. I don't have time to go through, but I thought it was really interesting. I'll mention just several of these. You know, the Word of God, of course, is timeless. And the Word of God has been a blessing for believers down through the time of the church. It started in Acts chapter 2. They're on the day of Pentecost, and it continues on until the time of the rapture, this period of the church, the body of Christ, of which we are a part, those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And you look at that word, parakaleo, in the New Testament, and it gives some insight and some of the encouragement that's been needed throughout the church age and will continue to be needed. Let me just mention some of them. That with purpose of heart, we should continue with the Lord. that we should continue in the faith, because through many tribulations, we're going to enter the kingdom of God. Encouragement to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Encouragement to strive together in prayer. Encouragement to speak the same thing and to not be divided and to be perfectly joined together. Encouragement to submit ourselves to those who devote themselves to serving the saints. Encouragement to reaffirm our love to the brother who has fallen but has repented. To be encouraged to increase in love more and more. To be encouraged to warn those who are unruly and comfort the faint-hearted and uphold the weak and be patient with all. Encouragement to contend earnestly for the faith. And we could go on and on. There's so much of a need for encouragement because people are going through trials and difficulties. And there's a need for us today, here in our own local assembly, and also in the future, unless the Lord Jesus comes, as I said, during this meeting, and then there'll be no more need for encouragement because we'll be with the Lord, which is far better. But there are people today, we have two in our bulletin today, who have lost loved ones this past week. Another last Sunday morning was in the bulletin who had lost loved ones the week before that. Just like there were in the first century, there are brothers and sisters who are struggling with bereavement, the loss of loved ones now. There's uncertainty about the future today, just as there was in Thessalonica in the first century. There are struggles in our assembly with past scars, present failures, and future fears. There are those here among us who have had experiences of rejection and disappointment and struggles with self-confidence. There are those who are having difficulties with aging, battling obstacles in life, struggling with temptation. Some who are all of us who are potentially susceptible to slipping spiritually. To drifting. There are those who are becoming weary in service, who are battling temptation, who are investing their lives and feeling like they're getting very little in return. And many times these things are not seen. We know when someone dies, we know that person needs encouragement, not the one who died, but the one who's left behind. But there are a lot of these things that we don't see necessarily going on in people's hearts and lives. But the need is there. You see, we never need to be concerned that encouragement may be out of style. No, encouragement has been needed since the creation of Adam and Eve. Since the fall, rather, not the creation. Since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, there has been need for encouragement. And there will always be a need for encouragement as long as we are in this world, in this life, in this body. Thirdly, we want to see that there's a go-to resource. A go-to resource. You know, right now the National Basketball Association championship series is being played. Possibly only one more game tomorrow night. The Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers have been, they played four games. It's the best 4 out of 7. The Warriors won the first three and the Cavaliers won the most recent game. But you know, both of these teams have their go-to players. You know, the Cavaliers, if they're in a crunch, they're probably going to feed the ball to LeBron James. And the Warriors, if they're really under duress, they're going to either get it to Stephen Curry or maybe now they'll go to Kevin Durant. But there's going to be the go-to players. And you know what? There are a lot of resources available for us to encourage others. Sometimes it's just being there with someone. Sometimes it's just our own experience and verbalizing that in a way that can help someone. Sometimes it's just speaking some words of encouragement and comfort, and it's going to be okay. And you can do it. But you know what? There's one go-to resource. And for the believer, no matter what the situation, it's always the Word of God. Notice in chapter 4, again back in 1 Thessalonians, notice there at the end of chapter 4, the end of verse 18, and this is what really has struck me particularly in this study. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. With these words. What were these words? They were the words that Paul had just spoken. Notice verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. You know, there is no encouragement like the Word of God. There is no encouragement that is going to have the type of impact in somebody's life that the Word of God can have. Paul had already told these believers in chapter 2 and verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians that when they received the Word of God, which they heard from Paul and his companions, they welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The encouragement that the Thessalonian believers needed would best be found not in Paul's own comforting and encouraging, though that could be very helpful and very beneficial, and I'm not in any way discounting or minimizing that. You encourage others with your words and with your presence and with your actions, with your deeds of love. But you know what? There's nothing like the Word of God to bring encouragement. You know, God is the greatest encourager. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You see, that word for comfort there is the word for encouragement in the family of the parakaleo, who comforts us, who parakaleos us, who encourages us in all our tribulation that we may be able to parakaleo those who are in any trouble with the parakalesis with which we ourselves are parakaleo of God. You see, God is the greatest comforter. God is the greatest encourager. And He has given us His Word. And we can use the Word of God to encourage one another. And that's my encouragement to you today and to me today. As we encourage others that we go to the Word of God, sometimes it's a direct quote from the Word of God. The Lord provided me with an opportunity unexpected this morning to talk with a brother in the Lord, and I was so aware. He was going through a very difficult time and is going through a difficult time. But you know, I was so aware because of this study that I gave him words of encouragement, but I also took him to the Scripture. And I quoted a couple of verses that I knew by heart, and I looked up a verse that I knew, but I couldn't remember the direct quote. And I wanted to share with him the Scripture, the Word of God, to be an encouragement to him. And then there are scriptural truths that we may paraphrase somewhat, and that's okay. We can't always remember the exact quotation, but we can be like Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. Scriptural truths. To be like Isaiah, Isaiah 50 and verse 4. The Lord God, Isaiah said, has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. You see, the Bible is an inexhaustible supply for the faithful believer who encourages by faith. And that's what the encouragement I want to give you this morning. That's the bottom line. We're going to one more point, but that's the bottom line. Right here, an inexhaustible supply of encouragement for brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're called to encourage one another with these words. With these words, right here. These words. Words of encouragement. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable. So finally, let's close with one other thought. Some encouraging ideas, some encouraging ideas. First of all, these are just some practical things. Look for scriptures to be used for encouraging. If I'm going to use the Word of God to encourage, then I've got to know something about the scriptures, right? I've got to have the Word of God. So, you know, they're going to be those scriptures that are meaningful to you. And when you're reading the Word of God and you come across a scripture and it's meaningful to you, then hang on to that because it's probably going to be meaningful to someone else. God very likely will give you an opportunity to share that same verse with someone else. It'll be meaningful to them. Be looking for scriptures that will address particular needs. Be aware, okay, what are the things that people that I come in contact with seem to go through, some struggles I have? Let me find some verses. Let me look for some scriptures. Go to a concordance. Go to another brother or sister in Christ and say, hey, can you help me find some scriptures to deal with this issue? I want to be an encourager. I want to be an encouragement. I'd like to challenge you this morning, or at least encourage you, to commit to identifying at least one encouraging verse each day. Each day. In your time in the Word of God, and if you're not having a daily time in the Word of God, maybe this will be an encouragement for you to do that. As you go through the Word of God, among other things, look for an encouraging verse and make a note of that. Every day, say, I'm going to commit to at least one. Or maybe if you don't want, maybe say, I'll do one a week. I'll encourage you in that. And I'd encourage you to put those to memory or, you know, maybe write them down on a card. Have them nearby. Here's another encouraging idea. Look for specific believers who need encouraging. It's not that hard. Look to your right. Everybody look to your right. Everybody look to your left. At least, unless you're sitting on the end of the row, at least one of those directions, or both of those directions, you saw somebody that needs encouragement. People on the end of the row, you just saw one person. So maybe the person on the other side needs double encouragement. But everybody needs encouragement, but be on the lookout for someone you think, now that person may need additional encouragement. But we can encourage everyone. I want to encourage you to make a list of specific people. If you have a chapel directory, there's a great list right there. But maybe make a list of particular people that God brings to your mind and ask the Lord to do that. In fact, I want to encourage you to look for avenues to be used for encouraging, ways to encourage, praying that God will open doors and show you where the avenues are and how to go down that avenue and to whom that He would have you share that scripture with, that He would open doors. It may be through a card. The cards can be such an encouragement. You can put a verse in there. Some cards already have a verse. You can make note of that verse as you send that card. An email, a telephone call, a text, as well as in person. Many ways to be an encourager of your brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to encourage you here to pray. Pray that God will show you who. Pray that God will show you the verses. Pray that God will show you the avenue. Lord, how do you want me to be an encourager? And bring the people to me even. Maybe that's the avenue that He would have. And then look for venues to be used for encouraging. A venue is a place where something happens. And we want to know where the place where encouragement happens. It can happen here. Pray that God will shape us into a local church where believers are consistently being encouraged with the Word of God and are encouraging with the Word of God. That when someone comes here, they know that they're going to be encouraged. Hopefully publicly from the Scripture as they are presented, but also individually. That we're going to be talking about the Word of God. Before the meetings, after the meetings, between the meetings. You know, I was thinking about it this morning, and our primary purpose for gathering at the Lord's Supper is to remember the Lord Jesus. But you know what? I was encouraged by what my brothers were sharing from the Scriptures about the Lord Jesus and what they were praying. I was encouraged by that. We can encourage one another by being together. We can encourage someone in the venue of inviting someone to get together. Let's have coffee. Or can I stop by your house? Or will you come by my house? Or can we meet early before the meeting just to talk and to pray and share a verse of encouragement? And you might say, well, I don't know what kind of encouragement they need. Well, think about the encouragement you need and share a verse that encourages you, and it will probably encourage them. We're getting ready in September to launch small groups, gathering together in smaller groups in homes and here at the chapel, and meeting together with an opportunity to really get more involved in each other's lives. If, as the Lord leads you to be involved in that ministry, which I'd encourage you to pray about that, then there's an opportunity, there's a venue to get to know someone and to find out more about their needs. And also to be gathered around the Word of God, and as we study the book of James, we'll start out doing that, and then seeing things in the book of James that we can share with each other in that context of that smaller group. That can be a great venue for sharing the Word of God and encouraging one another. When you are prioritizing encouragement in your life, always keep your eyes open so you can look. So you can look for scriptures, you can look for those who need encouraging, you can look for avenues, you can look for venues to be used. So as you are hopefully making encouraging one another a priority, maybe more than this ever has been, and we have a lot of really good encouragers here already. One of the encouragements that Paul had was to imitate him. And we got a lot of good encouragers that we can imitate here. But I would suggest we all can be better encouragers. And that's the challenge, to encourage one another. And I would say, just like Paul did in verse 11 of chapter 5, just as you were also doing, keep it up. Do it today while it is called today. Go forward. So here's just our final slide. A word of encouragement. Encourage one another before leaving the chapel grounds today. That's my final encouragement. So we're going to close in prayer. Brother David's going to come and he's going to play a verse of a hymn that he selected. And while he's doing that, I want to just encourage you to think about, how can I encourage someone? Maybe you don't have a Bible verse right now. That's okay. But just seek to be an encourager. Say a word of encouragement. If you have a scripture or a part of a scripture, share that with someone today as well. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together in your word. Lord, it's always such a blessing to look into the scriptures. Father, there we see you encouraging us. Thank you for encouraging us. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of your favors, and yet you say, I want to encourage you. Lord, you've given us your own Son. You've made it possible that we could be forgiven of our sins and have a relationship with you and a certain home in heaven for all eternity and a life of purpose now in this world. And Lord, even beyond that, you say that you encourage us. And you want us to take the encouragement that we receive from you, and you want us to encourage others with that encouragement. May we be encouragers, Lord. May we be encouragers with your word. May we be encouraged by your word. And Lord, if nobody encourages us, may we be like David, who encouraged his heart in the Lord. May we go into the word of God and find your encouragement for us there. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for encouraging us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.